Welcome to Beyond Bite Wings, the business side of dentistry, brought to you by Edwards & Associates PC. Join us as we discuss how to build your dental practice, optimize your income, and plan for your future. This podcast is distributed with the understanding that Edwards & Associates PC is not rendering legal, accounting, or professional advice. Listeners should consult with their business advisors before acting on any of the information that is shared. At Edwards & Associates PC, our business is the business of dentistry. For help or more information, visit our website at enassociates.com. Hello and welcome to another episode of Beyond Bite Wings. My name is Ash, and today I have a very special guest joining me. Her name's Antoinette Bone, founder of the law office of Antoinette Bone PLLC. Now, Antoinette is an estate planning attorney with deep expertise in helping business owners protect their legacy, and yes, that includes dental practice owners. Today, we're diving into a topic that often gets pushed to the back burner: trust. Whether you're planning for the future of your practice, protecting your family, or just trying to avoid legal headaches down the road, this episode is packed with insight you won't want to miss. So without further ado, hi, how are you doing?
Well, hello. Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here and talking to your audience.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to specialize in estate planning and trusts for business owners?
Okay, so a little bit about me. I'm originally from Birmingham, and I went to undergrad at UC Berkeley and Syracuse for law school. And in law school, I thought I'd be a career prosecutor, but as we can see, that did not turn out to be the case. After I finished law school, I worked at the DA's office in Brooklyn. And then I in general have a very adventurous spirit. So that adventurous spirit led me to these different places in the country. And ultimately, it led me to join the Air Force, where I spent 4 years on active duty as a JAG. And JAG stands for Judge Advocate General. And no, if you are familiar with the TV show back from like the 90s, I think it is not like that for us. But I spent 4 years on active duty, and it was there that I started doing estate planning. And most people are surprised to learn that JAGs do a lot of estate planning. And we do a lot of estate planning because we service active duty, their family members, and retirees. And we do that because the military has invested an interest in ensuring that people have an estate plan because they could go off someplace and not return. So they want to try to make sure that the families are taken care of. When I decided that I was going to open my practice, I decided to go into estate planning. It was something I was familiar with, and I like it. Estate planning is a lot like putting a puzzle together. There's a lot of moving parts, especially for business owners who are trying to coordinate their estate plan with their business plan. And it's just a fun intellectual challenge. And in the process of engaging in that intellectual challenge, I get to know some really incredible people, because estate planning is a deeply personal process, because there's so much of what's going on in your family that's involved in helping formulate what your estate plan is going to look like. So that's how I got into doing what I'm doing.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, why should a dental practice owner even consider setting up a trust? What's at stake if they don't?
So in general, whether you're a business owner or not, you should have some level of estate planning. But for people who are business owners and people who have professional practices like dentists, it is that much more important that you have a plan in place. And you're typically going to need to do trust-based planning. Trust-based planning is an incredibly flexible tool. A will can absolutely distribute your assets to whom you want them to distribute it to, but mm-hmm. a will doesn't provide the same level of management and administration ease that having a trust does. A trust also provides a level of privacy that you're simply not going to get with will-based planning. Now, we can have more control over what's happening with the assets that we leave behind when we engage in trust-based planning. So it allows us to utilize more tools for, typically it's going to be managing a lot of how assets are going to be distributed to family members. That could be your surviving spouse if you are married, or children if you happen to be single. Trust-based planning is really, to say something colloquial, it's really where it's at for business owners. Having a will-based plan these days is probably not going to get you where you need to be. And in terms of asset protection planning, you are going to need to have some type of trust-based planning in order to get those types of benefits.
I see. And what would you say are a couple of examples of trust or trust-based planning?
So there's all kinds of trusts. They are like lollipops. They come in many different flavors. The most common type that people are going to hear about are the revocable living trust and possibly an irrevocable trust or an asset protection trust. And the revocable living trust in and of itself is not an asset protection tool, but we can do some asset protection planning for the people that you are leaving assets to in that revocable living trust. On the what I call hardcore asset protection planning side, you would be looking at doing an asset protection planning trust, which means we're going to probably cite that trust. And when I say cite, I mean, it's going to be governed by the laws of another state. That's not Texas. Some common states where asset protection trusts are set up are Wyoming, South Dakota, Nevada. And then there are other places, but those are probably some of the more common places.
Okay, so if we have an audience member or a client that, let's say, has multiple practices, can one trust cover them all, or should they have separate trusts for them?
You're probably not going to need more than one trust, but you may need more than one entity. Because when I say that business owners need to coordinate their estate plan with their business plan, it's really the business structure that is going to provide you the level of asset protection that people want to have. But that's like the low-hanging fruit part of asset protection planning. Like, we live in Texas, which is one of the better states to live in for having assets protected from our state constitution. So some common things are our homesteads. You can have a pretty valuable homestead in Texas, and let's say you get sued, you are not likely to lose your home because of that lawsuit. Insurance proceeds are protected. IRAs, the retirement accounts, are protected. So there's some just simply built-in protections that we have by being residents of the state of Texas. In terms of what's going on with the services that you provide through your business, you want to have an entity that represents your business, and you want to be operating as an entity. And then that entity can be owned by your trust. But, you know, the trustee, depending on who that is, if it's you, of course, then you're going to be the person that's able to manage that business that's owned by the trust. But like, your spouse probably can't manage that business because they might not be a dentist. So for us lawyers, like, my trust could own my law practice, but my husband can't manage my law practice. So he's not a lawyer. Only lawyers can own law practices. And I would assume, I don't know if that's true for dentists or not.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a PLLC. I think dentists would also set up a PLLC as well. But as a business owner, you need to be an entity. You can't just be out there providing services to the public with really no protection. And again, the common structure is that your trust would own the interest in your business?
Are there any specific red flags or mistakes you see dentists or people who's trying to estate plan make when they've started the process?
A red flag would be not having anything. At a minimum, have a will. But really, for business owners, you probably need to have more than a will. But if you don't have anything else, a will is better than having nothing. In terms of having your business remain a valuable asset, particularly at your death, there are things that you want and need to do in order to preserve that possibility. So people don't really think about that. One of the things that can be of value to your company is goodwill. But when you are deceased, and potentially when you become incapacitated, the goodwill will definitely die with you unless you've set your practice up so that it's not so tied to you as an individual. My practice is the law office of Antoinette Bone. I'm kind of at risk if something happens to me, death or disability, that the goodwill that my practice has could be lost. And so I'm in the process of remedying that. And having a scalable name for your practice, it could be the Wealth Dentistry Office. It's going to be better long-term for preserving value in your business than if it's just your name alone. So that's one of the things that people, I think, don't really think about because they don't know to think about that.
A great tip, really. Because oftentimes, I mean, especially if you're like a single dentist owning one practice, the self-branding is focused on you. And then, as you said, the goodwill is tied to you. So if you're incapacitated, a lot of that goodwill goes away. In fact, all of it. So it's important not just to, you know, think about, okay, I need to set up a will, I need to, you know, talk to an estate planner, but also from an operational standpoint, especially if that's your only bread and butter, to bring in an associate, at least, and to think about maybe changing the name of business and move the branding over to that name, to that company, and not yourself.
Absolutely. And something that is maybe more unique to people that aren't in service businesses, because I would assume that if you were in a service business like we are, you've probably gone to a lawyer who helped you set up your entity and would have drafted an operating agreement. I come across many a business owner who all they've done is essentially register their entity with the Secretary of State and they've done nothing else. But the magic in doing that is having an agreement in place. It can be called a company agreement, an operating agreement. It's got different names, but it is essentially the playbook for how your business is being operated. And people too often commingle their business assets with their personal assets. And from a tax perspective and from a planning perspective, that becomes problematic because people are seeking asset protection when they set up these entities. But if you don't operate your business like a business, but more like your personal bank, then you're not going to likely get the asset protection that you were wanting to have. That operating agreement is really, really important. And in terms of coordinating that with your estate plan, I want to tell you now, LegalZoom is not going to get it for you. You have to talk to a professional. And I say this from the standpoint of being a business owner myself. As I am going through this process of revamping my business, restructuring my business, essentially, I see how complex it becomes when you are trying to ensure that what your operating agreement says works with how your trust is set up and the powers that your trustee has. So it's more than just getting ink on paper. There's a lot of thought that has to go into making these two entities, this trust and this operating business, work together.
Well said, and you're right. That's true. I'm glad you actually brought up LegalZoom. What's the other one that I see a lot these days? Rocket Lawyer.
There's that one and Trust in Estates or trustinwills.com, something like that. I don't know. Can we mention these other entities?
No, but we see them on a daily basis, you know, especially the ones that are thinking, oh, you know, my bottom line is shrinking. What are some of the areas, you know, where I can, I don't know, cut some costs? And this is one of those areas, the service side, right? Whether it be accounting, legal, they're thinking of finding a cheaper alternative. And you raised a great point that maybe in the short run, you may see some benefit, but in the long run, maybe you or your beneficiaries may have to struggle with it.
Right. I mean, it's the most common thing in the world, being penny wise and pound foolish. So yes, you can get something done cheaply right now, but in the end, I'm telling you, from a legal perspective, it is so much more expensive to fix a problem than to have done it correctly to begin with. I see it in probate. And being a probate attorney as well, it's interesting to see on the back end what planning looks like or how planning ends up, or really how either not having a plan, what that looks like, or having a bad plan. And bad plans often look like people who have opted for the inexpensive route to get their estate planning in place. Like I understand we all have budgets and we are trying to be cost effective at times. But when it comes to getting your estate planning done for a business owner, a dentist who owns their own practice, you really cannot afford to not get this right the first time.
Yeah, there's a lot at stake. You're absolutely right.
And you should, when you start this process of estate planning, you need to go into it understanding that, look, this is not something that I'm going to do just once. Because as your life changes, your business changes, your estate plan likely needs to change with it. So if you have, you know, some health issue that comes up and you're looking at, okay, how am I going to continue to run my business? Is my estate plan set up so that there's somebody in place to run my business? Is that in my operating agreement somewhere? Who's going to step in and run the business if I can't do it? And I know that dentists, like lawyers, we're, you know, you're regulated by an entity and you can appoint someone. And, you know, if you fail to appoint someone and you pass away, someone is going to be appointed and their job is going to be to wind down your business. And winding down your business is not the same as selling your business. They're not going to be so concerned with that. And so if you want to preserve the value of your business for your family, you have got to put things in place while you have the opportunity, because once you become incapacitated, all bets are off. If you don't have anything in place, you are not going to have anything in place. Other people can't do your estate planning for you.
So true. And you're absolutely right about that, because practice owners, they know this, that the value of the practice depends a lot on their collections. Top line revenue. So if that drops, essentially the value of your asset is reducing. If that's part of your future planning, retirement planning, then all the more reasons to keep an eye on it.
So if you have any period of incapacity, like you say you've been diagnosed with cancer, okay, you don't have any planning in place. Well, you definitely want to start getting something in place because you may be incapacitated for a long period of time. And when people think about estate planning, they're only thinking about death planning typically. But estate planning is very much about disability planning. And so, again, this we're back to having people in place to do the things that may become necessary. You need to have a power of attorney, allowing someone to help you manage your personal and potentially your business affairs. And for business owners, there need to be things in your power of attorney that, you know, Joe Schmo that doesn't own a business won't need to worry about. And again, going to the less expensive option where you don't really talk to an attorney to get advice and counsel, you just get a form, that is 9 times out of 10 not going to serve your needs. You need to have someone in place to make medical decisions for you. Yes, there is a default in the statute, but if you're married, okay, typically you're going to name your spouse, but you may realize that that may be a decision that is too difficult for your spouse to make emotionally, and you may want to appoint someone that can make a hard decision like that. Certainly still involve your spouse, but maybe not have your spouse as the primary person. But typically people are going to name their spouse, you know, and to make that type of decision. And for the power of attorney as well, that spouse is typically going to be the primary person. But for us professional services providers, you know, even if we name our spouse to like manage the personal stuff, they're not going to be able to run our business. In terms of other documents that people should have for disability planning, with the medical power of attorney comes the HIPAA release. So allowing someone to have access to your protected health information. And I call this a companion document to the power of attorney, is a pre-need declaration of guardian. So if it gets to a point where you have to have a guardian appointed, then you have made the decision about who that is, instead of leaving it up to a court to decide who that person is. And we have two types of guardians here in Texas. That would be a guardian of the person and a guardian of the estate. The guardian of the person is the one who is responsible for your well-being, taking care of you, making sure you're fed, you're housed, you're clothed, you take the medications you're supposed to take, you go to the doctor when you're supposed to, making those kinds of decisions. And the guardian of the estate becomes the money manager. Now, if you have engaged in trust-based planning, we are unlikely to need a guardian of the estate because the trustee will be the person in power to be managing your assets. Again, your business is going to be an asset, so you know, we want to make sure that we have someone named to manage that practice while you are incapacitated or upon your death. And then there is the declaration of agent for remains. Now, people don't like thinking about death in general, but this document is specifically about naming the person who's going to be in charge of your remains upon your death. And I always encourage people to do some pre-planning for your burial. It is an extremely emotional time for your family, and there are a lot of decisions that have to be made. In general, engaging in estate planning is truly an act of love because you are taking a lot of emotional strife off of your family because you have taken the time to make decisions beforehand. It will definitely be a huge relief for your spouse if you are married. And if you just have kids, you don't have a partner, you don't have a spouse, then as a child who only has one living parent left, I think about these things and I'm like, oh, it's just a lot to have to do. And you don't realize how much there is to have to do because like maybe your parents haven't died and you haven't done it. But I've talked to many a person as a client who's come in for a probate, and they are often overwhelmed by how much was left undone. If you have a will, if you have an estate plan, it's a lot easier if you end up in probate. And one of the beauties or beautiful things about having a trust is we can avoid probate as long as your trust is fully funded. And what I mean by fully funded is all of your assets are either owned by the trust prior to your death or are made payable to the trust upon your death. We can also use beneficiary designations as a way to dispose of property at death. But back to the essential documents. So we have the durable power of attorney and its companion document, the pre-need declaration of guardian, with the medical power of attorney, the HIPAA release. We have the declaration of agent for remains. And, you know, if you haven't done any pre-planning for your burial, most people haven't. We also do instructions for remains where we can talk a little bit about that, give some direction to your family. And then there is the directive to physicians. In other states, it's called a living will. In Texas, it's called a directive to physicians and surrogates. And in that document, you are telling your healthcare providers what you want to happen if you are in two very specific medical situations. You either have to be terminal or you have an irreversible condition. But whichever situation you find yourself in medically, your options are the same. You either do want them to take extraordinary measures to prolong your life, or you don't. And on the surface, it seems like a very simple, you know, answer to give, or you might already know what you want it to be. But there are some things that I help people think through and make sure that they understand about the different outcomes that can occur depending on which situation you actually find yourself in.
You're right. Oftentimes, we don't like to think about that. And that's part of the reason why we don't want to even, we know it's important, estate planning, but we feel like maybe we're too young and we're not there yet. But all these various components that you mentioned, and also the importance of having someone by your side who can hold your hand through this process, how important that is, especially because it's not just about you, but it's about your loved and cared ones. I was thinking of like last act of kindness.
Yes, it is very much that. And people, they undervalue that, but I think it's really something that they don't give much thought to. What I too often hear is, you know, I'll be dead. My family will have to deal with it. And I'm like, oh, do you not love your family?
Yeah.
Because again, there's just so much that, so many decisions that have to be made when someone dies. And if you don't do anything to give some guidance to your family, it's more often that bad things may ensue, especially if you have had a very challenging family dynamic. And what I want to say about family dynamics is that it has a huge impact on your estate planning. If you are in a blended family, meaning this is not your first marriage and you have kids from a prior relationship, you have to balance supporting your surviving second, third spouse with providing for your kids, because most people still want to provide for their kids, but they also want to make sure that their spouse is taken care of. And when you are a business owner, well, what is that going to look like when your primary asset is this business that you have been actively involved in? Are any of your kids dentists? Can they, you know, join your practice and be able to continue the practice? And if so, well, is your surviving spouse also a dentist, or if they're not a dentist, because your kid may not want to come into your business just to help support their stepmom. There's so many things that come up that are very specific to who you are and what's going on in your family. And that's why, you know, even though we all need the same documents, what those documents look like and say is going to be different for each of us because of what's going on with our finances and with our family.
Mm-hmm. Where can listeners go to learn more about you, your firm, or to get started with this trust planning?
Well, they can visit my website at abonelaw.com. But I also highly recommend my YouTube page. And that's youtube.com/abonelaw. I have videos on estate planning topics, probate, some guardianship, a little bit of elder law. So it kind of covers the gamut of what I do. And it really is a great place to go and start educating yourself about estate planning. I'm also on social media. You can connect with me on LinkedIn, and I have a Facebook page and an Instagram.
Well, thank you so much for being on the episode today and sharing such valuable information with our listeners and with me.
Well, I am, again, so happy to have been here. And yeah, please give me a call if you are ready to get your estate planning done.
Thanks for listening today. Be sure to subscribe to Beyond by Wings on your favorite podcast platform. For more information, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, or reach out to us on our website. You can also shoot us an email at info@eandassociates.com.